This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of Serious Issues, a Whitley comic book podcast hosted by me, Andrew Levins. Joining me today, Joel Dusha and Jackson Bailey.
Hello. Fuck you, yeah. Jackson. Say hello. Don't be great. A rude piece of shit.
No, he was doing War. What is it good for?
Yes, Dusha, I was doing that song.
I thought you were...
Levins got it.
To me, it more felt like that, you, I don't know, you'd done like a attack in Smash Bros.
Yeah.
What was it? An apps noise for today's episode. Because
who's spamming me in your version of Smash Bros? They don't feel like they're playing fair. But then I'm off the edge.
This is how everyone plays when they first play Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Someone's regretting picking me as their main. That's fair. Yeah.
Unfortunately, no Smash Brothers comic exists yet. I'm sure maybe someone's on like a fan one on the internet. Mm. Jackson, you're banned from looking that up while we record this episode.
Oh, dog.
you were singing War earlier, and I feel like almost all of our comics are about war and post-apocalyptic scenarios. One of them is literally called The End of the World. Yep. So in this episode, I'm going to be reviewing some Gundam. My first ever introduction to this world of Mobile Suit Gundam. Yeah. And I started with the Origin manga. So I'll be talking about that.
Clever.
Jackson, we can't always talk about good comics on this on this podcast, apparently.
That's true.
And so Jackson is revisiting... Is this the first time you've read it, or are you revisiting
this? No, this will be like the third time.
Stop reading this comic.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I keep expecting it to be good. I don't know.
Of course, Jackson's talking about Dark Knights Metal, the DC event that I lived through live week to week when it was coming out. When we used to do review all the single issues.
Poor son of a bitch. Didn't you also do that, Jackson?
Yeah, I think I did, actually.
Fucking
idiot.
Stop reading it!
I think I did it when it was coming out. I read it, and then I was like, surely that wasn't that bad. And then I went back and read it again. And then recently, I was like, surely it wasn't that bad. Went back and read it again. I don't learn lessons, I suppose.
And finally, to make us all cheer up, Dusha is going to be reading a comic called The End of the World by Don Hertzfeldt.
Hell yeah, it's sick. We'll get that later. But first...
Okay, great. But first, it's Gundam time, baby. Look, you might remember a couple weeks ago I read the Transformers manga. Yeah. I have tried to get into the Transformers franchise quite a few times. My biggest problem stopping me from doing that is that all the fucking robots look the same to me, and I can never tell who anyone is.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you would think that I would learn my lessons from that, or at least because those Transformers comics, most of the ones I've read are Western and are therefore colored. So at least some of the robots are red, some of them are yellow, some of them are blue. Yeah. There are ways to tell them apart. So now I've started reading another series about mechs, not robots. These are mech suits, Suit Gundam. And only maybe 10% of the pages in this 500 page first volume are color. So I'm now having to tell these robots apart just by I don't know, like sheer
just
will.
Just vibing. Yeah.
So
is it like are you struggling? Like what?
Okay, this is it's less of a problem in this. So Mobile Suit Gundam: The Origin. This is a retelling of the original late '70s. The first ever anime series of Mobile Suit Gundam.
Hell yeah.
Which was like a massive, very influential series. And I think, you know, given that this has gone on and on and on for so many years past that point, it's still the one that everyone goes back to as one of the best that the series ever had to offer. So in 2001, one of the original staff from that anime series wrote and drew a series that basically retells the origin of Mobile Suit Gundam, and his name is Yoshikazu Yasuhiko. And for 10 years he makes I think it's like 23 volumes in Japan, but they're releasing these incredible big thick boys.
Holy shit, damn.
So I mean, that's nowhere near as like a Berserk level, but that's still thick as hell.
Oh shit, Berserk update. I read 7 of those deluxe volumes in 7 days.
Fucking hell.
And now my arm hurts because I was holding it in one hand.
How are you not dead from just reading that much manga? Like, that's insane.
Also, Levins, look, I just have a question about Berserk. Wasn't it you that claimed you were going to read it like one chapter a week because you knew that it was a finite amount of Berserk because the creator technically passed away?
Well, look, I now know that the best way to read Berserk, bar none, is in those deluxe editions, because the art is just so enormous. And I've been sending you screenshots. I'll post a few in the Facebook group and Discord this week, but like, it is so easy to convince someone that, oh wow, this is a pretty necessary purchase. They are just like, the art is just so enormous. Yeah. So when there's a double page spread in these Berserk volumes, and quite often in the double page spread, the character is screaming. So you scream along with them.
Yes. Finally a book that's yell along with.
So I finished all 7 deluxe editions that have come out so far. That's 21 of the 40 volumes of Berserk read. The next one, the 8th volume was meant to be out by now, but because of, I don't know if it's like Australia or worldwide, it's really hard to get shit delivered in Australia at the moment.
Yeah.
So no one send us fan mail until we let you know that it's okay again. But the 8th volume of Berserk is coming out. The 7th volume that I read actually wraps things up really well. So I'm going to I'm taking a break now from Berserk World until that 8th volume comes out. But if that ends on a cliffhanger, I'm going to buy it all digitally on the Dark Horse digital website
and just burn
through it all. Because, as noble as my intentions were to read this as slowly as possible, it is just too good of a read to pace myself.
For sure.
So anyway, enough about Berserk, which is one of the best things I've ever read, and you should all buy the extremely heavy volumes. Slightly smaller Mobile Suit Gundam. They're like 500, just a measly 500 page.
Nothing.
Smaller size, but beautifully hardcover bound, lovely orange tinge. And I think when you put all 12 volumes next to each other, the spines show a cool robot fight.
Yeah.
That's sick as hell.
So we all know that the Gundam series is set in the year Universal Century 0079.
That's sick. Dude, that's the Mega Man X shit.
And this particular story is set in the 8th month of a big war between the good guys, the Earth Federation, and then there is a breakaway nation of space colonists known as the Principality of Zeon. And the Earth Federation, what's cool about this book is that it just throws you straight into the war. And you're just kind of, it's one of those things where I think the Transformers books I was reading would kind of try and set everything up, but I didn't know who any of the characters were. So the setup was just kind of like slow, and I was still confused.
Yeah.
Whereas at least with this, I'm being thrown into like absolute chaos, and the action is so frantic and so much is happening that you just have no choice but to just go along for the ride and just hope you understand who everybody is.
So
this opens with an attack on a planet, and all these civilians are injured, and a lot of heroes, I guess, die or perish from explosions and in this battle. And so we have all of these young people, all these young kids, sons of heroes or daughters of other people that have high up positions, replacing their parents and joining the fight. In fact, the main kid whose name I cannot remember, but it starts with an O, I think. Omaru, maybe is his name.
Yeah.
He witnesses his dad, like the loss of his dad, and then he finds a Gundam, a mobile suit Gundam, this brand new big fighting mech, and he climbs inside and he basically like kind of fudges his way through a battle with the opposing forces. Now you have Gundams on the good side, yep, and on the bad side, guys, let's all say it together. Of course we have Zaku's.
Zaku's. I knew.
And Zaku's have like this like kind of like more of a dome head as opposed Hell to like yeah. your classic Transformer-esque mech.
Sick.
And basically like the first volume is just a constant like little battles between both sides as each side gets either reinforcements or like, you know, things that are going to hamper them from beating the other team. And it's like kind of like cat and mouse back and forth as these young crew members, including like a new captain, all have to prove themselves to people higher than them.
Yeah.
And then the villain, the leader of, or like the kind of the guy who's piloting the enemy ship and controlling the Zaku's is a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he's very fun. Always got an evil grin on his face, always forcing his like, you know, cronies to die for him.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's a lot to love about this. And the artwork is fucking spectacular. Just like if you love big, cool spaceships and mechs and explosions, and like there's like actually quite a few. Like, they're quite generous shit. With like the color pages. The coloring is wonderful. So yeah, these are very, very well put together volumes. It's published by no idea who. Well, I guess I'll have to look at one of the pages.
Guys. Yeah, just a fucking guy.
You would
whatever.
Think they were put on the spine.
Just some dude, yeah.
Why the hell doesn't they put I think it's distributed by Penguin in here. Sotsu Sunrise, the Kadokawa Corporation. Kodansha, there we go. It's published by Vertical, an imprint of Kodansha USA.
Hell yeah.
So highly recommend tracking these down. Dusha, the icing on the cake for this is, and I'll read the blurb for you, because I'd made my way through the first volume, and I was like, oh, there's a bunch of extra pages here. You flip the manga around to the back cover, and then you read it like a Western book, because in the back are some essays.
Hell yeah.
Bonuses for this opening installment include an essay by perhaps the most celebrated of the influential series students. Can you think about who that might be?
That would be Anno, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So, is it... What's his name? Hideaki Anno?
Yeah. Creator of Hideaki. Evangelion.
That's right. So, he writes this brilliant essay at the forward, or the backward of this book, kind of lamenting the fact that Gundam now is just plastic models to people.
Yeah.
And saying what a great job Yasuhiko has done of making returning Gundam back to the plot, the tale. He refers to it as the tale.
cool.
And it's cool seeing someone that who's there are so many shades of Evangelion in this.
The plot description, and I know a lot of stuff does that, but just like the fact that it's like the adults were wiped out, and it was relied on the children to step into the giant mechs.
And the kid is like, at first, like he's so proud of himself for getting in the mech and clocking a few Zaku's, but as we all would be. But pretty
who
quick,
among us wouldn't love to clock a Zaku?
Pretty quickly after that, like his superiors are like, you know, you must get back in that robot. Yes. You must, you know, and it's like, oh man, it feels just like Evangelion.
Yeah.
There's a comic I read, and I've been trying in the background to remember what the hell it was called.
Transformers?
But it's, Transformers, War for Cybertron. No, it's called, like, Last of the, and then it's a word that is, like, a giant robot, and it means giants. It's like Last of the, Last of the Goliaths, or Last of the Titans, or Last, and it's just, you can tell how much it borrows from this story. This one is, it's, like, set in a futuristic Turkey, where an otherworldly threat is happening, and one guy's like, what about those giant mechs that we used for that war 20 years ago? And everyone's like, no, that's pretty fucked up. Let's not get them again. He's like, I reckon we could use one of these. And so they go and get it out of a trash or like a dump or whatever. I wish I could remember the name of it. It's a great comic. It's genuinely so great. And it's, yeah, I wish I could remember it to recommend it. Maybe I'll review it if I can remember what the fuck it's called.
Yeah, that'd be good, man.
But it's like...
Greg yeah. Pak and, you know, the comic book artist and writer, Greg Pak, P-A-K?
No.
He did like Hulk and all kinds of different stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But he did a comic a while ago called Mech Cadet U. Which was...
Oh, yeah, I know Mech Cadet U.
Yeah, that was really, really fun.
Yeah. And so you can see how much of an influence Gundam... Like, the idea of guys getting in robots, damn.
Yeah.
The legacy that has had, you know?
Yeah, and this is really fun. It really, like, kind of puts you in the... in at this young kid's, like, you know, perspective of, like, learning this suit that he's in. And, like, while realizing that he could die at any point. And, like, you know, he finally finds a weapon in the big robot that he can use and then fires it too many times and then the suit's out of power. And he's like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do now? it's great. It's really fun. I know it's a very dangerous Band-Aid to rip off for me with my extremely addictive personality.
You're insane for, sure. for doing this. Gundam has so
it's
much
It's bad for
stuff.
You to read any comic, really. Like,
yeah, I know.
It's a risk.
But, yeah, I've got the first two volumes, and I dare say I'm going to buy the next 10 as well.
Yeah. And how long until you start owning big Gundams?
Mm. Well, I have two little Gundams, but I bought the
day now.
Well, I bought them for my children because it's their the Hello Kitty Gundam models.
Oh, that's sick.
And you build a plastic Hello Kitty, and then you build a plastic Gundam, or the second edition you buy build a plastic Zaku, and then you can put a mech helmet on Hello Kitty and then put her head on the suit of the Gundam or Zaku.
That's great.
Rules. And she just has like a bazooka. It's fucking great. So that's on my daughter's, shelf with all of her toys. It's great. Just a big bazooka wielding Hello Kitty.
That's sick as hell.
So yeah, that's a Mobile Suit Gundam, The Origin, Volume 1 by Yoshikazu Yasuhiko. And now we're going to talk about a bad comic.
Jackson,
one of the worst.
Take it away, Jackson.
Yeah. It was called Last of the Atlases, I remember.
Oh, cool.
Anyway.
Let's not talk about that good comic.
Yeah, no, we're talking about a bad comic. So DC, when was the last good event they did? They haven't done a good event? What's the one where Superboy punched reality? What the hell was that called?
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Infinite Crisis. Yeah, don't want to get them confused. That was all right, but no.
Final Crisis is fun.
Yeah, Final Crisis is fun.
It's absolute nonsense,
true.
And I feel like that directly influenced Scott Snyder to write this, but this is not the kind of nonsense I like.
So... Dark Knight's Metal has such a crazy lead-in. Yeah. So, Batman has several adventures. You know Batman. You know that guy? He has several adventures leading up to this. Several, like, quite large arcs. I think the arc that introduces the Court of Owls, which I quite liked. I really liked Court of Owls as a comic. But that directly influences Dark Knight Metal. They all, at some point, feature Batman touching a kind of metal. And then it is revealed in Dark Knight's Metal, this crossover event, that by touching all of these kinds of metal, Batman has become a portal. A portal to the Dark Multiverse. The Dark Multiverse being, what if every time you thought a bad thing was going to happen... It created a universe where that bad thing did happen, but that universe didn't last because bad ideas can't last. I don't know. The cosmology of Dark Knight's Metal actually doesn't make sense. It feels very half-formed, but that's how they explain it to you. And so Bob Bados, the Bat Devil, turns Batman turns Batman into a portal to the Dark Multiverse and lets a whole bunch of bad Dark Multiverse Batmen through Batman into the regular universe and starts corrupting it with the intent effectively of turning it into or of giving these evil Batmen a life outside of their universe, which will eventually... You know, erode away. There's a tie-in. Yes,
sorry,
please.
I just have one question, and it's not. It's
Shoot,
not related.
Dude,
is this?
I'd love to hear it.
Is this where the Batman with the other Justice League powers comes from? Or is that a different comic?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. So, for some reason, Batman... Because it explains these dark...
Yeah.
I just got some a bit of breaking comic book news then, Jackson, that you're going to love to hear. No. Last week or the week before at the time of recording... Well, this week. Yeah. This coming
out.
Yeah, this is coming out today. Yeah. I'm dropping it like immediately after we finish recording.
So, yeah, a week or two ago, there was a teaser image for the upcoming Flash movie, which was the Batman suit with the Flash symbol over. Like, as in, it was the 1989 Batman logo.
Was
with
it
the spray
painted
Flash over it? So, it's probably going to happen. They're doing it.
So the way they explain these Batman is that each of them is a fear Batman had, that he was like, damn, what if this happened to me? And in having that fear, it created these evil Batman in the dark multiverse. But I always found it really funny because they're just so stupid, and it's so funny that Batman was really scared this might happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, because there is a series of, I was going to say, there's a series of tie-in comic books which explain the origin of all of these Batman, and the Flash one is... It involves Batman strapping the Flash to the front of the Batmobile and then driving too fast and combining with the Flash to become like a Flash Batman.
Was he like the Batman who runs fast or something?
No, I think he's called like the Red Streak or something stupid. But he's basically wrapped around the Flash, and the Flash is like, gotta get me out of here or whatever. Anyway, so obviously the comic is about finding Batman, because he gets walloped into the dark multiverse, and fighting these evil Batmen.
Yeah.
And
worst of which is, of course, the Batman who laughs.
Obviously, the Batman who laughs, where it's, what if the Batman became the Joker? And it just sucks so much. It's just so uninspired.
I'd completely forgotten that was the main hook of this event. Because I remember that first issue, and I feel like most... events have a like pretty intriguing first issue, and I think that one, that first issue, it's all about Hawkman and
Carter Hall. It's like, what's going on? Something mysterious. He's narrating it. You're like, why is Hawkman?
And like, there's like a bunch of secrets in the Batcave, and which Green Lantern is investigating it?
Oh my god, I completely forget.
But
I can never tell.
A Green Lantern, probably
one of the Green Lanterns.
They're like investigating the Batcave.
Mm.
And
with Signal, from memory, Signal being one of Batman's, his latest ward.
Yeah.
Duke, yeah.
So, I just want to alleviate everyone's fears. I've just double checked. Mm-hmm. And look, it's related to comics, so I'm not that sorry.
Okay.
So the logo teased by the Flash director is that of Red Death, which is from a slightly different comic book series. So that's from when Batman was depressed because all of his sidekicks died, so then he killed Barry Allen or something and stole the Speed Force. And now everyone thinks...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joel Dusher, our movie correspondent. Yeah. Hollywood
Red
correspondent.
Red Death is not Red Death what he calls himself? I'm fairly sure Red Death... Look, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about
it.
That's
Dark Knight's Metal Rail. Is that part of Dark Knight Metal?
It frankly could be. Yeah. There are a lot of shocking tie-ins. But I know what you mean, Levins. That first one is quite intriguing, and I think that's what sucks me in every time I revisit Dark Knight's Metal.
Stop doing it.
I can't stop. I'm like, what's going on? I like Carter Hall as a character. I like Hawkman. Like, let's see where this goes.
Read a
and it
good
never goes
fucking
anywhere
Hawkman
good.
Book, then.
Yeah, I should.
I just looked up the first issue to remind myself of it, and then I remembered that the front cover is like someone doing like devil's horns with their fingers, except the fingers are made up of the Justice League.
Mm. I think Scott Snyder said that he listened to. There's like a playlist you can hear about it, which is like this death metal that he listened to during, which I think is the most embarrassing thing in the world.
Now I gotta look this up. Dark Knight.
And I think there's an album as well that you can get. A soundtrack featuring songs inspired by the graphic novel was released as an exclusive vinyl. Which Dusha, you should get. Let's not mince words.
Yeah, yeah.
You need this vinyl.
Oh yeah, like metal bands like Denzel Curry and Manchester Orchestra.
Yeah. Directly inspired by Dark Knight's Metal. So the bulk of the comic is obviously these bad Batmen and the Justice League fighting, you know, and trying to figure out what's going on and where Batman has specifically gone. It incorporates the that bar at the end of the world or out of time. I forget what that's called. The Nowhere Bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I
like that place. And that place I really liked, and I should review it one day as well, Justice League Dark with Wonder Woman. I thought that was really good. But this obviously isn't. And then at the climax, they all go into the Dark Multiverse.
Yep.
They create armor out of the Nth metal, which is the metal that allows Hawkman and Hawkgirl to fly. Every one of them obviously picks one of the bad Batmen, and they also get a whole bunch of the Justice League fellas in. It ends like every event ends, where all of the good guys are fighting all of the bad guys. You get a couple of splash images of like all the various bad Justice League characters. I think there's a Minotaur Wonder Woman in there. And then Hawkman is a big hawk monster. They kind of reawaken him and try to make him remember that he's Carter Hall, and that somehow helps save the day. And then the way that Batman defeats the Batman Who Laughs, who is the orchestrator behind all of it, the Batman Who Laughs has been going to all of these different dark universes and being like, hey, come to the real world and then your world won't end, is that, and it's this big reveal in the comic, Batman needs to team up with the Joker. He's like, who can I never predict? The Joker. And the Joker's like, yeah, get off my turf or whatever. And the two of them fight the Batman Who Laughs. And it's just the most who cares moment in comic books ever. I think one of the saddest things, one of the most the biggest bummer about Dark Knight's
is
metal
is
the
times.
Legacy it's had. Yeah, well, that sucks. But that's more a me problem than a Dark Knight's metal problem. But Dark Knight's metal has had this massive legacy somehow through comics. So there's Dark Knight's Heavy Metal, which is a continuation of Dark Knight's metal.
Isn't it Dark Knight's Death Metal?
Death Metal.
Come on, bro.
I know, what am I doing, dude? Fuck. There's Dark Knight's Tales. No, I think it might just be called Tales from the Dark Multiverse, which is a series kind of in the style of What If, where Tempus Fugonaut, the cosmic time man, is like, wouldn't this be fucked up? And he shows you what if various DC, famous events had gone wrong. And they are also bad, and I've also read all of them for some reason.
Have you read Death Metal?
I couldn't. I tried. I was like, what is happening? I have no idea what's happening. There's some map of New Earth where there's like the Batman Kingdom, and it's truly awful. Wonder Woman kills the Batman Who Laughs with a Lasso of Truth chainsaw, I think. It's just very embarrassing as a comic
this
series.
Like
there were a few inspired moments.
Big time.
It's definitely trying to like bring that
but it's like
back.
That, but it's like that. Yeah.
It's like they think of really out there concepts, but then they take them so seriously that I don't get into it. Like,
for sure.
That's, yeah. Yeah. And there were a few inspired moments. Like, I remember there's a Flash tie in called Speed Metal, which I think that's pretty fun.
For some reason now I should read
I
that.
Haven't read it just the, though, as a title. That's clever to me.
It's kind of, well, I think Speed Metal has the kind of tongue in cheekness that the rest of it should have had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're like, this is stupid, but we're doing it anyway.
So,
or whatever.
Jackson, I just looked up, and
yeah,
because I want to make sure that you continue your journey, obviously. So with Dark Knight's Death Metal, it's a sequel to Dark Knight's Dark Knight's Metal,
of course.
And Snyder said, "Everything is coming back. We want to pay it forward. The Omega Titans, Barbados, the Forge—it's all coming back. Everything you read, our goal is to reward. All of it culminates in like a year in like a metal event."
That sounds like something I'll read,
also,
even though I really
it
shouldn't.
It fucking ties into Sandman.
Yeah. Well, it already is tied into fucking a Watchmen, so like, dude, anything's possible.
No, isn't someone from Sandman universe in that first issue?
Are they? I've not read enough Sandman, so maybe I didn't even pick up that they were.
Oh, and Hollywood Reporter just confirming that, yeah, Dark Days is part of this run, and the Red Death did make his appearance in this series.
Yeah. Dark Knight, that was the prologue. This culminated last year. They put out a comic called Dark Knight's Death Metal, The Last 52 War of the Multiverses, which I think is maybe the stupidest named comic of all time, and I have to respect it.
I've not read that, and now I will have to.
Jackson, there's so much. How have you not read all of it?
Well, and also it ties into the main Justice League space. It's like you're just watching a dog take a shit. That's the face you've got.
Because the Batman titles are all so bad.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting.
Oh man, just going through and reading the names of all of them is just amazingly funny to me.
Batman the Murder Machine, Batman the Drowned, yeah. Batman the Devastator.
And also, like, Levins, you're so right, because it's such an opportunity to be like, let's get crazy with these bad Batman. But they are like, what? The one I find strange, and, like, I get it because they were like, well, we gotta make one of them a girl, is Batman the Drowned is Aquaman Batman, where it's like, what if... But it's okay. So the rest of Batman being like, what if Wonder Woman died and I picked up the helmet of the God of War Ares and became like Ares Batman? Or what if I wanted to use the technology of Cyborg to rule the city? So I became a Robo Batman. But Batman the Drowned is like, man, what if I was born an Atlantean and I was a girl? That'd be scary. And for some reason, that's one of them. And it's just, they're so boring. They're so not interesting at all. And look, to its credit, later Dark Knight Death Metal did have some, or and even I forget the name of it, there was some other tie-in comics, did have some wackier versions of Batman, like what if Batman hooked himself into Gotham and became the city? What if Batman was a Tyrannosaurus? Great. What if Batman was a car? So, like, look, some of them did get kind of wacky down the track, which was at least, I don't know, interesting to look at, whereas the rest didn't even have that going for them.
There was one book called The Multiverse Who Laughs, and the plot synopsis is The Robin King tells stories in the new dark multiverse.
Yeah, I think that might be the one I'm thinking
to
of.
The
yeah.
Groblins. Who are the Groblins?
I don't know what a Groblin is. The Robin King is what if Batman became bad as a boy instead of a adult man, and he calls himself the Robin King, and he's just a kid who loves to murder.
Okay.
One of the Dark Knights is called the Darkest Knight, and Wonder Woman fights him.
I don't know who that is. There's so many fucking guys. And because it ties into the main, like, Justice League event, where this is how you get Perpetua, the queen of the multiverse. Like, that's how that all kicks off, because the Dark Knight Who Laughs puts Dr. Manhattan's brain in his body and becomes a Dr. Manhattan Batman Joker who's all powerful. It's just like, you know, when you're reading something and you're just like, I could so easily put this down at any second and go do anything else. Like, I'm so not invested in this that I could just, you know, like, kind of the opposite of what happened to you, Levins, where you're like, I need to finish all of Berserk or I'll die.
Yeah, yep.
Or it's like, at any second, you could put down Dark Knight's Metal or any of the tie-in comics or any of the sequel comics and move on with your life and you would be no worse off for it. You don't need to finish it. It won't be satisfying. None of it makes any sense. It's the basic concept was already so flimsy. Yeah. And poorly thought. What does it mean that if I have a bad thought about what could happen to me, it makes a
Jackson,
reality that won't last? What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
But the Batman Who Laughs corpse is back and he's attacking him and they can't do it. And you can read about that in The Batman Who Laugh.
It's like that cyclical nature. Like, no matter how insane the concept is, the fact that it's an event means it needs to set up the next 10 events, including Generations Shattered and Generations Forged, Future State and Infinite Frontier. And I don't know if you've noticed, but yes, we've heard all of those words in previous DC events, because now they just choose nouns and verbs from their various events and put them in front of each other. Oh, that's the new event.
That's a thing. Yeah. That's a story.
And Marvel's
no
better either. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh, yeah.
Event comics are one of the worst things about superhero comics. And even the most high concept one, you're still like, oh, this is pretty good for an event. There's no one's ever, you know, this is the best comic. This is the greatest thing I've read all year. Like, it's the thing, something that you feel like when you keep up to date with weekly superhero comics, all it takes is one of your weekly comics to be somewhat involved in that event. And when Marvel and DC do ones that span all of their titles, you feel sucked in and obligated to buy what will be a, at best, subpar read.
Absolutely.
I encourage every listener of the podcast to get involved in Dark Knight Metal so that when the next tie-in happens, we can all ride this wave together. Jackson, you've convinced me.
The it you're referring to is Jackson reading it again, right?
Not me reading Dark Knight's Metal one more time, being like, surely it's good this time.
Well, maybe next time you should read Dark Knight Heavy Metal or whatever the fuck it's called.
I tried. It's so stupid.
But Sandman
Joke
and
is in
the
a
Watchmen.
Cage.
Dr. Manhattan's consciousness is in a chair or something.
I don't think I got that far. I don't know what's going on there.
So that,
only good, because it was just bonkers, tie-in that I did read was, it was Tales from the Dark Multiverse, where they're like, what if something that had happened, it was a big event, went wrong? Dark Knight's Metal. So they were like, what if Dark Knight's Metal, in the context of Dark Knight's Metal, went wrong? And it was just, it was like as ridiculous as you wanted those comics to be at the beginning. It was massively post-apocalyptic. Duke was the only one of the few people left. He's the protagonist. Yeah. There's just a lot of stupid shit in it. Like,
what?
What's that name? What's the name of that monkey who has Excalibur now? Levins might know.
Detective Chimp.
Detective Chimp, exactly. Detective Chimp is wearing the corpse of Red Tornado to survive.
Who's Red Tornado?
He is like an android character.
Just some fucking
guy. I like Red Tornado. That's the thing.
I like Detective Chimp.
I love Detective Chimp. Are you kidding me? Get out of fucking town with this. There was a really great magic, like a Justice League Dark book that with Constantine and like.
The one where he's like, they crack open Gem Realm or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's
like,
the one.
Detective Chimp, you were meant to be looking after Gem Realm. And he's like, I fucked up. Gem Realm's fucked because I'm an alcoholic. Dark Knight's Metal. Justice League Dark was great. I really liked
that's
that.
That's the thing. I love DC characters. Like, obviously, like, everyone's read a billion Batman stories. But, I think that DC has insanely good, deeper characters. Mm. I think Constantine is one of the best characters that is so frequently misused in comics.
For sure.
But when he is used well, you're like, oh, this is the best comic I've ever read in my life.
I think Justice League Dark, I mean, again, that's not what we're reviewing, but I think it did a great job of that with all of its characters, because the Justice League Dark was Constantine, Zatanna, Detective Chimp, Man-Bat.
Oh, man, I love all
Wonder
these guys.
Woman.
Yeah, that's great.
And they just worked really well as a team. Levins, to warn you, it does get stupid.
What?
Yeah, but the good kind of stupid most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. But then toward the end, I was like, I got to stop reading, I guess, because you've become too dumb for me. But that's okay. Thank
too
you, Dark Knight.
Jackson
Justice
Bailey,
Dark.
The dumbest man on earth.
What's wild to me is that both DC movies and DC comics allowed a Snyder to just do whatever the fuck they wanted for years. I think Scott Snyder's still doing whatever the fuck he wants. Actually, no, he just announced some weird new publishing thing. Is he still doing DC comics? I don't know.
Well, the other thing. What's it called? What we were just talking about? Heavy Metal? The sequel one.
Death Metal. Death Metal.
Yeah.
That ended,
wrapped up
at the
start
of the
year. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Scott Snyder.
Presumably there's... But surely he's going to do the sequel to Death Metal. Surely.
Dark Knight.
He'll do the next one.
K-pop.
Oh, yes, please. Maybe give us the reverse of Dark Knight's Metal. I want one where it's every universe you think where, like, man, that would be sick. It does come true.
Okay.
And a bunch of Batmen that are just having a great time come down. And they're like, yeah, life rules, dude.
He wrote...
This is what you could be doing.
He wrote Justice League Dark.
Some of it.
No.
He did a run. There's been multiple Justice League Dark runs. Mm. I can't remember.
He might have been where it got stupid with the upside down face, man. Maybe, where they're like, magic is disappearing or some shit. Who cares?
Well, that's Jackson's Dark Knight's Metal review. Jackson, you're banned from DC Comics for 2 episodes, but then you can make a triumphant return.
Yeah, and then he's a triumphant return. It's like, yeah, I've been thinking. I should read. What if it's
Dark
good now?
Dark Knight's Metal. Yeah.
What if it's
every 3 weeks, Jackson re-reviews Dark Knight's Metal.
Like a mouse that, like, doesn't understand it's electrocuting itself, you know? Like, how come this food hurts me when I touch it?
So now it's time for Dusha to cheer us up with the end of the world. But before we hear that, it's time for a word from our sponsor.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thank you, sponsor.
Thank you, sponsor.
God bless.
Welcoming us. In the end of the world. Dusha, tell us about it.
So there is an animator and illustrator called Don Hertzfeld, and I fucking love all of his stuff.
Give us some examples.
So yeah. The first thing, and people might actually be really familiar with this, it was big when I was in high school. He created Rejected, which was something that was like very part of like very early YouTube.
Which
is like a 8 or 9 minute compilation. It's like kind of flash animation style drawings. And the like introduction to it is like, these were ads for the Learning Channel and they were rejected due to being like too polarizing or something like that. But it's mostly just kind of like early internet humor of like, there's a guy holding a bowl and he pulls out a spoon to eat from it and the spoon's too big and he starts losing his mind about it, the spoon's too big. There's banana. Anyway, it's really hard to describe that one in particular.
No, my anus is bleeding. Yeah. I remember it.
It's hard to describe that one in particular and then be like, it's good. But it's very much like, it was like kind of really early in that timeline as well. So like a lot of the horrible internet humor would have kind of spawned from that era.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he went on to get into longer form animations. He made a film called It's Such a Beautiful Day, which won a million awards. It's 70 minutes and it's all like hand drawn style. He has a very distinct drawing style, which is kind of like stick figures. But he draws them in like it's like really basic illustrations. But then the concepts that they're dealing with are always just, like, fucked. So, It's Such a Beautiful Day is, like, a man kind of... The plot of that is, like, a man just having, a day in the life kind of thing. But, yeah, like, he's sick. And, like, that, like, I think it's a brain tumor. So, yeah, like, as the day goes on, you realize that things are getting worse and worse for this guy. He also has a series of science fiction shorts called World of Tomorrow. And End of the World, the book I'm reading, is the proof of concept for World of Tomorrow.
Right, okay, sure.
So originally...
this guy also did that really, really insane Simpsons couch gag where...
Yes.
Homer travels in time and to a place where like the Simpsons are like robots that just say their catchphrases over and over again.
Yeah, and then they become if you want an indication of what the vibe for all of his work is, search the Simpsons couch gag, Don Hertzfeld. It's episode 1 of season 26. That's how much of a fan I am of this guy that like I can tell you that.
Yeah, wow.
It's the episode where Krusty's dad dies. That opens the episode.
Yeah, I was just reading about it then because I was looking into it, and I love all of the reactions from the people who got him to do it. They're like, "Yeah, we He didn't expect that. That's
yeah, because the couch gag
not what we were going to put. Okay,
Homer travels so far into the future that the Simpsons are no longer people; they're concepts. And you just get like these horrible, horrible images of like. So there's like a Marge that's like a triangle, basically, with an eye and like just hair, and then Homer that is just like a circle, and it just like has underneath. Like, and it's like kind of like a jittery animation, kind of almost like really distorted, and then it just says like "I will love you forever" or something written underneath it. You're like, this is a horrible vibe. Anyway,
what a way to begin.
The World of Tomorrow. I saw a couple of years ago, and the first one in particular just like fucked me up because it's the plot is, and Emily comes from the future to meet Emily Prime, who is like a 3-year-old toddler, to be like, hey, I'm a clone of a clone of a clone of a clone. Because I've been cloned of you so many times, there's some memories that I have that I need you to help fill in, basically. So she takes Emily Prime, a 3-year-old, through all of these moments in time. But the way that the audio was recorded was Emily from the far future was a voice actress, but Emily Prime is, I think it's Don Hertzfeld's niece. He just held a microphone and recorded her babbling and then just used that as dialogue and then built stuff around it. Yeah, it's like really good and has like incredible sci-fi concepts, but also there's parts of it where you're like, I feel like I just got hit by a truck.
It all
started with End of the World, which is, it's been re-released kind of recently because it was really hard to get at first. I think it originally came out in like 2013. And it was like one of those books that they announced and then it was like a limited run and pre-orders sold out immediately. And then the only way to get it was to buy it secondhand for $1 billion. But then, in 2019, it was re-released. And it was around that, 2012 or whatever, Don Hertzfeld was kind of struggling to sleep. And he just started drawing cartoons on post-it notes. And this book is just a collection of all of those post-it notes.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, look.
That's full
this
on.
This is for just Levins
and I thought my book filled with drawings that Robert Crumb drew on napkins was bad.
So it's just stuff like this.
Whoa. That's crazy.
So it's like, big blown-up post-it note drawings.
Yeah, and, like, some of them are just, like, kind of, like, one-shot stories. It's called End of the World because they're all basically in a post-apocalyptic setting. But some of them, you can't tell, it's just, like, a guy. It'll just be, like, a stick figure standing on something having, like, a random thought. But then occasionally you'll get, like, ones that run for, like, 6 to 8 pages. There is parts of this book that got translated directly into World of Tomorrow. So there's a part in the middle of this, which is about an art exhibition cloning a man. Well, sorry. Putting a baby in, like, a display tube without a brain, so it just grows up. Like, as a man, and people just go and visit this man, name him David. He's just standing, blinking in, like, this tube, basically, in an art installation. And then, like, it's just, at age 73, he died of old age. And he was, like, removed quietly. There was no fanfare. That was the artist's intention. And people were, like, sad, because they used to just go, like, whisper to David and stuff like that. That's just, like, randomly in the middle of this. And I'm like, yeah, cool.
God, sure, great.
It's, to be honest, like, it's not the best introduction to Don Hertzfeld's work, but it's, like, if you like any of his animations, it's absolutely worth checking out. And he's just, like, a lunatic of a man. Like, he's very, very anti-advertising. He's never, like, properly, and the reason why this book was so hard to get originally is, like, he's never, like, properly released his stuff.
Yeah, how do you watch his movies?
So, World of Tomorrow was released as a 3-part series on Vimeo. Such a Beautiful Day had some kind of distribution. It was on Stan in Australia for a while. That was where I originally saw it. I was like, what the fuck is this? I watched like 10 minutes and I was like, whoa. Because, it like, honestly, like, some of it just looks like a Flash animation, but like,
The concepts and the content is...
It just gets like...
Yeah, for sure.
It's Such a Beautiful Day also starts with like a very, very, very funny opening scene, which is just like... I think it's like two guys at a bus stop and one guy waves or something and it's not at the other guy. And then there's just like, but it uses like slow motion and like hard zooms and stuff like that. And it's, yeah, it's funny. But yeah, all of his stuff is funny, but very unsettling.
That's, yeah, incredible.
But yeah, if you're looking for something to watch, I think, because It's Such a Beautiful Day is a three, like it's a feature length film, but there's three chapters in the film. And I'm pretty sure the first chapter is for free on either his Vimeo or it's on YouTube. And yeah, World of Tomorrow, you can rent from his Vimeo.
Cool. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So that is The End of the World by Don Hertzfeldt. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dusha.
Yeah.
Jackson, I was trying to scroll through old episodes of Serious Issues to find the list of like Justice League Dark and all the weird tie-ins we were reading years ago. And I found something so much more cursed. And now I think I'm going to assign it to you as homework.
No.
So some of the darkest moments of when we used to be a weekly podcast that reviewed every single issue that came out that week was when once every few months, DC would release a number of like collab titles where they would pair off one of their beloved superheroes with one of the many franchises that Warner Brothers or DC also owns. So things like Hanna-Barbera and... And well, mostly Hanna-Barbera.
I think I remember that too, yeah.
Look, this did lead to an incredible run of The Flintstones, written by Mark Russell, which, Dusha, have you read that before?
No, I haven't.
You would absolutely fucking love David... What's his name again? Did I say Mark Russell. Yeah. Mark Russell's Flintstones run. Unbelievable good stuff. But then you also have completely off-the-wall stuff. I don't even remember what happens in these books, but I found an episode from, like, I don't know, 4 years ago, and in our segment where we reviewed every first issue called First Things First, in which we reviewed 16 first issues of comic runs.
Fucking hell.
What was I doing with my life? Four of those 16 issues were DC tie-ins with Hanna-Barbera, and so we have Deathstroke Yogi Bear number one. Green Lantern Huckleberry Hound number one, Nightwing Megilla Gorilla number one, and Superman Top Cat number one.
What?
These all exist. I think
for
a future episode, I want you to read it for the first time, and I'm going to revisit these dark moments. Yep. If anyone listening has like wants to dig up how insane a time it was in our Facebook community when everyone was reading these and weighing in, that was a hell of a time. Because that was like the third run of number one issues they did with those characters tying together. I think we need to revisit all of them as a family.
Let's do it. I will track them down and read them.
Significantly worse for everyone's mental health than whatever the fuck I was just talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the next time I'm like, maybe I should revisit Dark Knight's Metal, I'll say no.
No.
Jackson, you have homework.
You have Deathstroke Yogi Bear number one to read. So that is it for today's episode. Go out there and buy two of the three comics we reviewed this episode. Yeah. And if you want to come and discuss the comics, maybe tell us that Jackson should read. It takes four reads of Dark Knight's Metal to truly understand it. The best place to do that,
I just don't get it yet,
is in the Sans Pants Discord, which you can message one of us and you can join, or you can head to facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast and talk about it there. You can hear Dusha and Jackson on the podcast, Plumbing the Death Star, Baseless Speculation, Thumb Cramps, and more, all over at sanspantsradio.com, where you'll also find my other podcasts, Hey Fam, and all the small games. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, Jackson. Dusha, thank you.
No, thank especially. You.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
First we did actually, the end of the world. You. Now it's the end of the episode.
Oh my God.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.